This is Mae Brussel. It's broadcast number 650, May 21st, 1984, and it's side two of this particular program. Before I get into Gary Hart for the remainder of the program, for the second half hour, there were several other news stories that I did want to update. One is the Continental Bank of Illinois that is under the verge of collapse but has been rescued from that demise by President Reagan, who is very nervous about it, if you've read anything in the paper about his reaction to this, and they've been watching it very closely. This is a real good example of the chickens coming home to roost in the financial world. The Continental Illinois has been mentioned in so many cases that have to do with espionage, a bank, and I'm sure all of them, the Morgan Bank and Chase Manhattan, of course, and the major banks have been involved with the intelligence community, with the war machine, with the spy systems. And in the last months or years, the Continental Illinois has come under attention because of links to loans to John DeLorean or Cardinal Cody with his female friend and stepson who had their condominium down in Florida. There was millions of dollars involving the Vatican Church and the Tylenol scandal, the extortion. There were links to the Continental Illinois Bank, not just in mentioning, but the parts that were never really exposed. And in the book, The Final Conclave, which I quote over and over again by Malachi Martin, there's a section in there about Michael Sindona of the God's Banker from Franklin National Bank, who incidentally wants to be extradited to Italy. That way he can escape like his cohort, Licio Gelli. Sindona was president of seven Italian companies, vice president of three banks, and bought a controlling share of the Vatican Banca Union. And then Sindona came in the United States and got involved with the Continental Bank of Illinois. And the chairman of the bank was David Kennedy. He was secretary of the United States Treasury under Nixon. Remember, Sindona allegedly offered, I don't believe Nixon ever refused it, $1 million towards Richard Nixon's campaign. They quickly shredded all the papers that the committee re-elect the president, so I just can't believe that one of the reasons of that haste wasn't to get rid of the connections of the Vatican and Michael Sindona, who was closely functioning with the Secretary of Treasury, Mr. David Kennedy. David Kennedy is a high elder in the Mormon Church, and this is one more link of an international control of finances, or trying to control, which isn't one particular group, the Vatican and the Mormon Church, working closely. And under President Nixon, Kennedy was a board member of Sindona's Fosco AG, the letters AG, not like Philip AG. And the Continental Bank is described, the Franklin National Bank. This book just goes into a little bit on the international banking and the connections of the Vatican to the high up in the Republican Party and the scandals centering around this bank. The $4.5 billion credit that they just got this week is very scary, and I say the danger that a lot of the investors are worrying about is that how soon their banks will follow. A lot of you don't like me to quote Lyndon LaRoche in New Solidarity, but I find some of his articles of value, and I'm not afraid or ashamed to say it. And as early as 1982, August 82, he had an article that Continental Illinois will bring down the U.S. economy, that the London Financial Times targeted for destruction. The leading bank of American Midwestern industry, the Continental Illinois. And in July 30th of 1982, there was an article in the British paper, the Financial Times, how the Continental Illinois fell from grace, and it goes into some of their problems. This was 2 years ago. This isn't something that has just happened. This has been brewing for a long time, and just as the multi-billion dollar loans down to Argentina that were made under the dictatorship, not the change of government now, but under the dictatorship, or Brazil, and you know the long list of horrendous loans that are going on. There is a lot of trouble brewing that is scaring Richard Nixon, and it would scare anybody who knows the financial system in this country. The Executive Intelligence Review 2 years ago in 1982 had a long article on the Continental Illinois of Chicago and their financial problems and their losses of $61 million in the second quarter. That was just in 1982. And the question is, as they were losing it, say, 2 years ago, how did it mushroom to this tremendous amount that they have to bail in and put up now. What happens to these financial geniuses with their Harvard education, their business school educations, to allow credits of $4.5 billion for one bank? And again, it goes back to the question of where does the money go? Who did it go to? And I think one of the solutions to the banking problems would be to put into a massive computer and let everybody see whose hands this money fell into, and then you'd know who is really controlling the world as they drain the banks of America of their money and the banks are ready to collapse. Where is it falling and whose hands does it fall into? When you get these financiers, though many of them with the 40 million, 30 million, 20 million missing, and they maybe go to jail if they're caught for 2 years and they never count or put in jail the recipient of the money. If they can't pay the money back, how come the recipients aren't going to jail? But the financiers are ready to collect millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, and then give it to somebody, sit a little time out, and then we don't even know if they served their time. Oh, one other item I also wanted to bring up was William Donovan, the news stories in the paper, Washington Post, investigator with ties to Donovan's firm probed. This is a member of the Chavion Corporation, his company in New Jersey, and how they bugged and put wiretapping on a particular person in tape conversations, a man named Mr. Scherer, Ralph C. Scherer, S-H-A-R-E-R. And he would go to the congressional hearings and the staff members of the Senate Labor Committee in 1982. They were investigating the links of Raymond Donovan to organized crime. And you remember in June of 72, two of his primary witnesses were murdered. Well, this committee was interviewing and bugged the aides. He wanted the information on the aides of Senator Kennedy, and they also wanted information on journalists. This is very important, the journalists who were covering the story and witnesses to the allegations that Donovan was tied with organized crime. Now, you don't think that people like Jessica Savage end up in a ditch for nothing when they are inquisitive or do a story on Roberta Calvi, or I understand she was going into the Grenade invasion just at that time. These reporters are also wiretapped and followed, and the witnesses to the trial. The New York Times has a story May 16th, and as I say, the Washington Post has one May 15th on the bugging of aides. They wanted to know, they bugged this man, had wiretapping to inquire about several aides to Senator Edward Kennedy. Remember, Chappaquiddick had to do with the aides of Robert Kennedy, and he did Kennedy's aides up there at Chappaquiddick that fatal night of Mary Jo Kopechne. The importance of this story of the FBI looking into the investigator who secretly gathered information on staff members is pertinent because just last week or the week before, we talked about Mr. Doherty, the prime investigator against Mr. Thompson and the Sin Fuel. So it's very important to know that the investigators are followed, the witnesses are followed, the witnesses are murdered, and there are, in fact, these death squads. That's exactly what is happening in this country, and it's important to know that when somebody has surfaced now and said, yes, I was told to follow this person and that one, and the aides, and Ted Kennedy's assistant, and reporters, because reporters are targets, and they even wanted to know information about Jack Anderson, the columnist, potential witnesses against Mr. Donovan, and Mr. Chavone from associates of the columnist, Jack Anderson. And so if you read the details of the Donovan case in the newspaper that are just surfacing now, the important point, we know that Donovan has links to organized crime. We know that they quickly cleared him a second time of the allegations in 1982 that surfaced, that it covered up his links. But the kinds of people they target is the important thing of that story for me, the congressional aides, the witnesses, Ted Kennedy, because people say the Kennedy curse. The Kennedy curse is that if you're too inquisitive, and goodness knows he isn't out there as a flaming liberal, but he's asking some good questions, and then his staff and aides and people around him can be knocked off. And the witnesses to Mr. Donovan, it was a horrendous clearing of his case. Once somebody shot in the head and stuck in the trunk of the car, you say, well, we find no evidence. Well, the witness gave a little bit of testimony. They can't be called back, and they're dumped in the ocean and so forth. So that's why they don't find any evidence, because the people who have the information are gone, and they don't look for the other people. And anyone else who follows would be scared to death anyway, so they have to shut up. Now, about the elections, I don't talk too much about the candidates, mostly because it nauseates me. I can't stand the electoral process. I fear we haven't had an election since 1960. You had a clear-cut choice, and I may go into this, might as well go into this now, is later with the elections coming up, because when it comes time to vote, I would say ABR, anybody but Reagan. I mean that even if George Wallace ran, it would be ABR. I'm voting ABR. But in between, there isn't any choice. These primaries are just horrendous. They're spending $24 million out of just recycling garbage, ridiculous interviews. The sense of appeal is that I don't want the MX and I don't want the nuclear war. But outside of that, I can't see, except for Jesse Jackson, anybody who's making any sense at all. Jeff Gerth, who's one of the best researchers, I always say, in the country, one of the best writers, has an article in the New York Times, May 13th. The CIA has long sought to sway foreign voters. Now, Jeff knows what goes on in this country, but he wouldn't be working for the New York Times for 2 hours if he said, the article read, the CIA has long sought to sway voters. We have Tom Pappas and the Greek military junta with Richard Nixon at the time of Watergate, and the Vatican and the CIA money that influences the Republicans swaying the CIA has affected America. Everybody involved with the John Kennedy assassination, either the murder or the cover-up, had links to the CIA and the Defense Department. But he cites a few examples because it came up last week. Jesse Helms leaked that the United States was helping Duarte in El Salvador. Heavens forbid, he wanted Dobison. And that's where the fine line is. Why would Jesse Helms scream about helping Duarte? Because his favorite is the farther right. And the article by Jeff Gerth mentions a few countries like Italy and Greece and Australia and Vietnam where we changed the elections and put in the far right wing, but he leaves out Albania and Iran and the United States. That's the important country. We have the Philippines and the South Korea, but the United States is the one that was the most affected. Now, what's left in this country, running in this country, is the right wing, which is the far right wing. Call it the military dictatorship. It's really run by our friend Fritz Kramer, Henry Kissinger, Gerald Ford, who Ford was on the Warren Commission and covered up the coup in this country, and Kissinger was behind the scenes, and Mr. Fritz Kramer. They belong to both parties. It's the far right fascist wing. That's Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan. Their links to the organized crime and the mafia and the Nazi connections are the predominant fascist connections. The Nazis from World War II and the pre-World War II that put Hitler in, the people that run the wars, whether it's in Iran or put the Shah in, got rid of Mossadegh and so forth, and the way they succeeded in office, it's a combination of holy wars with the Vatican and the Klan, the Nazis, the group at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that was set up by the Nazis, the Rangers in Georgia, the Special Forces, the Soldiers of Fortune. The far right wing are all for Ronald Reagan in this election, just as they are for Dobison in El Salvador, Marcos in the Philippines, military dictatorship that was put in Greece, and as I say, strong links to the Masonic Lodge and the hope or attempt of coups in all the various countries to put in a military dictatorship. And on the right, is against the far, far right, is the CIA, which is considered too liberal by a lot of the Defense Department. It basically is not a north-south, like a description of the Yankee cowboy war. It isn't that at all. It is basically an intellectual versus a military school, a gut-level military. And the geography has nothing to do with it. The CIA is always considered too intellectual by the Southern boys who couldn't make it into the prep schools and get any of the humanities or Greece or Greek or literature or Latin. And the Northern schools are considered elite, intellectual, and snobbish. And out of there come people. Of course, Kissinger is brought over from Germany by the military, so that's a different situation. It has to do with the state of mind. It doesn't have to do with North or South. Out of Harvard are many people of the dictatorship mind. And Fritz Mondale and Gary Hart are similar to Mr. Duarte in El Salvador, or Mr. Aquino, Benigno Aquino, who was killed. He worked heavily with the CIA, with Mr. Lansdale, with counterinsurgency. Once he was killed, they made him a martyr of the people. He wasn't of the people at all. Now, out of this fabric, in between what is happening now, there's Ted Sorensen, who is manning the campaign for Gary Hart, and that's who I'm going to talk about. I only have 15 minutes, and I may have to continue on this next week. Ted Sorensen is running the campaign for Gary Hart with Avril Harriman, the Trilateral Commission, the same group that were behind Jimmy Carter and passed him off as a peanut farmer when he was really a graduate of Annapolis. And long we remember when Jimmy Carter was running and Barbara Jordan gave a speech, and we thought, oh boy, this is going to be Greg Allman and the music and the young people and the blacks, and this is going to be his rainbow group, his coalition of the hippies, the music, the blacks, the disenchanted. And then it was Mr. Zbigniew Brzezinski in Jonestown, and I didn't see anything of Barbara Jordan or Shirley Chisholm when Jonestown came out, and 912 American citizens were brain-controlled and poisoned and killed by the military and the Defense Department. But if you're going to vote in the primaries, if you did already, or if you're looking at candidates, I would say that anybody from the Mondale, Hart, whoever wins a primary, or Jesse Jackson along that side, is the right wing. They're not the Hitler Klan type of the Reagan group. So therefore, ABR, anybody but Reagan. But don't get deceived by Gary Hart's image. I'm sure many of you aren't, and you've seen through him. Now, he had an interview in the San Jose Mercury. He was in town a couple weeks ago. A full-page interview in there. He absolutely does not commit himself to anything. That's one of the points I want to make. And pardon me. And they asked him, what will you do? You don't have support of labor. He says, I'll be running against Reagan, so that's enough. If you don't like Reagan, vote for me if you're labor. He doesn't tell you anything. He has no promises. But with Ted Sorensen running his campaign, why should he promise anything? Ted Sorensen was a gentleman from General Motors, and he worked there until he went on to law office in 1966. And he's a law partner in the office of Simon Rifkin. And that should tell you a little bit about where he's coming from. The Ramsey Clark Rifkin Law Office in 1966, he went on to that firm. Simon Rifkin is the gentleman who set up the TCI, the Otto von Bolschwing, the literal Odessa Network, the genius behind Adolf Eichmann, setting up the Jewish extermination. Out of this office of Weiss, Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Warren, and Garrison, Ramsey Clark came. And this is a group that worked with the labor and worked with the so-called people, the War Labor Board, and out of that group, the law office of Goldberg, a former partner of this law office. He was in the OSS. He betrayed a person who escaped from the concentration camps. Read the pledge, Betrayed, and almost the first part is about going to Mr. Goldberg in London when he's in the OSS and telling about the extermination camps and his rejecting the information and the fellow commits suicide. Lou Weiss is a close friend of the Marshall Fields. The Fields just sold their paper, of course, to Mr. Murdoch, so there'd be no more talk about Ed Meese, and they sold it $1 million less than they could have had it, had to give it to Mr. Murdoch, and it changed the entire policy of the reporting in one of the major papers in Chicago. Now, Dab Ten Sorensen, he was a special counsel to President Kennedy. Well, Kennedy didn't live very long. That's no advantage to being. He never spoke up about his murder or gave a damn about him. And he was a speechwriter for Jimmy Carter. But he is running the campaign. So to be a law partner of Simon Rifkin right off the bat tells you a little about Ted Sorensen. So it also explains why you don't get any information out of the mind or mouth of Hart. Nothing that I can grasp. In the San Jose Mercury, they asked him about the MX. He said, I'd cancel the MX and I'd reduce 50% the land-based multiple warheads. But then he said, I would increase national security and I'd increase spending on conventional forces. He said, the Army is underfinanced under Ronald Reagan. And then going along with John Lehman, he said he'd have to have more ships. John Lehman has a budget for 600 ships. He said, for 10 years, I've wanted more ships, and we don't have enough, and I'd allocate dollars into there. And we're building these huge boats and refurbishing boats. It's not what we need. What we need are what he says he was going to offer was new ideas. Now, there was a story in the Houston Post, Hart aide foresees potential of Watergate-style scandal. I thought, oh boy, now he's catching on. He'll talk about Edwin Meese. He'll talk about that biotech. He'll talk about Helionetics, about the Western Goals and the LAPD and Edwin Meese's connections to that. He'll go into these various scandals that are all over the place with Richard, I want to call him Nixon, there's so much I like Ronald Reagan, and Ed Meese and Mr. Edwin Noble from SynFuels, the interconnection of SynFuels and the bionetics and the Western Goals and the scandals that are Helionetics, all these various scandals that interconnect with the same people over and over again that have their own walkie-talkies ready for a coup, illegal funding scandals of all the various people. When I see a Watergate-style scandal, I think now he's rolling up his sleeves, and then it turns out that his idea of a Watergate scandal is simply to show how Mondale gets money from the labor organization that he didn't get at the Political Action Group. So he really wants to attack Mondale's Special Action Group, not offer anything different about Ronald Reagan that he would expose if he were president. See, that's what I think he should be doing. Now, again, a lot of you people don't like New Solidarity, but you'll have to forgive me if I show an example of Henry Kissinger and Gary Hart and Marvin Davis together. This was in April of 1983. And there's a long article that Henry Kissinger's crony Marvin Davis is pouring money into Gary Hart. Henry Kissinger, in this article, says, works both sides of the races in 1968 with Hubert Humphrey and Nixon, and now in 1984 with Ronald Reagan and being on his Intelligence Advisory Board and heading his Central America Commission. And he is very close to Gary Hart. And the article says that Mr. Davis put the original money. He had a Hollywood mafia group that put $100,000 into the New Hampshire campaigns, and that they are putting hunks of money into Gary Hart. And there's a picture of Hart and Kissinger, and Hart isn't going to touch any of those bases at all, and it's very believable that every word in this is true, even though it was in New Solidarity. And it says that Hart and Kissinger have more in common than fundraisings with Marvin Davis. Davis and Hart are part of the Prince Philip's World Wildlife Fund. Now, many of you are suspicious of that and know what a huge espionage front that is, and the Draper Fund, they're part of that, Gary Hart and Marvin Davis. And then Gary Hart and Henry Kissinger have even more in common. Hart belongs to the advisory board of the Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies. And that's the group that Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling and Jean Kirkpatrick come from. Again, the Vatican connections, the counterintelligence, the disinformation. He's a part of that, and he's on the advisory board. And this same Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies is one of Henry Kissinger's major places and bases of operation and where he gets his support. So Gary Hart is close to Marvin Davis. This is Colorado is the home base, and Hart's from Colorado. And as soon as Davis bought 20th Century Fox, he put Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford. They're just like buoys out in the ocean, those big cork things that bounce around. You can't put down Alexander Haig or Henry Kissinger or Gerald Ford. Ford, as I said, on the Warren Commission, and Fritz Kramer is the mentor, the master, the Geppetto, holding the puppet strings of these particular people. They know where the bodies are buried. They control this country through blackmail and through the assassination information, the covering up of the assassination, and wherever and whenever a candidate goes around, there's Kissinger and Ford, and now they include Gary Hart in their group. There was another long story about Robert Keith Gray in the paper several weeks ago, April 30th. I did the links of Robert Keith Gray to the Cottergate papers, stealing papers from the CIA for Ronald Reagan's reelection and his working with Henry Kissinger, and Task Force 157, the killer team of the CIA and part of the Nugenhand Bank that I mentioned in the first half of this program, and setting up Mrs. Meese's $40,000 salary, Gray bailing out the future attorney general's wife, man who aspired to be attorney general in the second administration. And I won't repeat all of those different connections, 11 connections to Robert Keith Gray. But the vice president of Robert Keith Gray is Frank Mankiewicz, who took time out to work with Gary Hart's campaign. Now, he joined the Hart presidential campaign as a senior advisor while he's the executive vice president of Gray & Company. Now, Gray is close, very close to Paul Exalt and William Casey, in and out, just identical to the Watergate, as I say, the Mullen Associates team with O'Brien, Larry O'Brien, and this time it's Mankiewicz. In fact, Mankiewicz helped run McGovern's campaign when he was running for president, and you know how that went. It was a total silence on the Hughes connections, on Rebozo, on the money, on the death of Dorothy Hunt. Mankiewicz is a man who wears two coats, and unfortunately, and he goes both sides, and everyone he touches is a disaster. If he worked with John Kennedy, he's dead. If he helped Robert Kennedy's campaign, he's dead. Sorensen, the same thing. Isn't it interesting that Larry O'Brien and these people that worked with the Democrats, worked with Howard Hughes' organization and Robert Mayhew, the Hughes organization, was the kingpin between Roselli or Giacana and the death of Kennedy's and the scandals in this country. So if Gary Hart is willing to take Frank Mankiewicz to help him with a campaign, and Mankiewicz works for Gray, what you're getting is that right-wing CIA link. There is nothing new about him, except a very important section, which I do want to put on the air probably next week if I don't have time now. Ted Sorensen, who's running this campaign, came out with a book this year called A Different Kind of Presidency, A Proposal for Breaking the Political Deadlock. And in the Washington Post, Fred Barbosch wrote an article December 30th, 1983. We were busy returning our Christmas presents. Maybe all of you didn't read it. Group considers making changes in government. And this article is about changing the Constitution. And behind that is the book or the theme, the same people as Ted Sorensen, doing away with the American Constitution and the details of the Constitution. And I'll run down the names of the people who are behind this. Mr. Joseph Califano, the gentleman who worked closely, not only with Sir Eric Geary deposing Grenada, but with Alexander Haig, the Defense Department, the CIA, Robert McNamara, Richard Bolling from Missouri, Peter Rodino, and some people to surprise you, Derek Bach, president of Harvard University. There is a group, and they're all Democrats. Can you imagine if the Republicans won the convention and won the election, that they'd say, now we're going to have a party where we bring in all the Democrats to help us, and we want a Democratic vice president, and we're going to cancel all congressional elections, and we're going to have a Democratic cabinet with a Republican cabinet because we have too many problems like nuclear arms and deficits and the grave problem of Mexico. So many people in Mexico, the William Colby, wanted 30 or 40 million killed. There's too many Mexicans. He said the Soviet Union isn't our problem, it's the Mexicans. Well, so does Ted Sorensen. And what they want to do is change the Constitution, not the Republicans. If they win, if Reagan wins, he'll make it tighter, just as Adolf Hitler did in 1933 and tightened up everything he had his hands on. But wouldn't you know, it would take a Democrat who originally wrote speeches for Kennedy, who had his head blown off 3 years later, a Democrat, a Democratic Party, and now working with Republicans so that if a Democrat wins, they'll change the Constitution. If a Republican wins, they won't do it. Republicans are on the committee, and there's David Rockefeller and a lot of Republicans. But I'll have to go into detail on that. The danger of Ted Sorensen, not only that he shares the offices with Simon Rifkin, but he's the same state of mind as Simon Rifkin and the TCI and what Otto von Bolschwing wanted. So in 1960, we had an election when President Kennedy won against Nixon. His head was blown off, and the Democratic Party gave away pieces and pieces of itself. It was a total takeover of the intelligence community, handing the power to Haig and Kissinger and Gerald Ford, as I say, with Kramer in the background. And now the Democrats, in name only, they call it the conservatives or the fascists and the conservatives. Maybe those are the two parties we have. But if the Democrats win, they're talking about getting rid of the Constitution. Now, Sorensen said, we'd only do it for 4 years, and then our problems will be solved when we get back. How can they realize that they can solve anything in 4 years? They won't even help find who killed their best friend. That's a joke. They're not interested in murders and assassinations or death squads in this country. So what they want to do is to have a new constitution. If you think that is something just from Liberty Lobby, and they've written about it, if you think that it's a scare tactic, forget it. There was a meeting in Washington, D.C., and very honorable, so-called honorable people met. And like I said, Peter Rodino, who certainly shouldn't be sitting with David Rockefeller to do away with the Constitution, and Patricia Schroeder is part of this group, was at the meeting, the Democrat from Colorado that you may think is so liberal, the close friend of Gary Hart, and Hugh Scott, the former Republican from Pennsylvania, was kicked out because of Watergate scandals, and Lloyd Cutler, who's behind forming this new Constitution with Sorensen, White House counsel to Jimmy Carter, and William Coleman, the attorney for the Warren Commission, a fellow from Philadelphia that was involved with scandals at the time Nelson Rockefeller's hearings came up, dirty tricks for Nelson Rockefeller, working with Rockefeller, Robert Dole of Kansas, Douglas Dillon, Secretary of Treasury, under JFK from 1961, when Kennedy was elected, until 65, when the Warren Commission was tucked in bed. He was the Secretary of the Treasury, and, you know, the family, the Dillon and Reed and the Combine, that they have the money and influence. Robert McNamara and so forth, I mentioned him. There were meetings, December 30th, reported of a group, and Ted Sorensen wrote a book, and he's serious about doing away with the electoral process as we have it and having one election one day. Everyone in Congress voted in the same day, and he wants to have a constitutional convention referred to as ConCon and Liberty Lobby. And they seem concerned, and this is the way that you neutralize the conservatives and incorporate the fascists. If the Democrats win, we'll bring in the Republicans. If the Republicans win, there won't be that change in the Constitution. Believe me, the conservative, the far right wing, would never give up their power to Democrats if they won the election. Well, the time is up now, so I have to go. I'll do more on doing away with the Constitution. That's Gary Hart, Ted Sorensen, and Simon Rifkin, going back to the Von Bolschwing Network. So if you're thinking of Gary Hart and you still want to vote for him, go ahead and do it. But I just expressed what I know about him, and you can do what you want. I don't tell people how to vote because that's impossible. But do what you want, and I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. This is Mae Brussel. It's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove. And I'm